when we're born, we begin to learn about the world around us. Children begin to want to move and explore. One of their skills that they have to be able to develop is being able to walk. I was thinking about that this week, and each child begins that kind of in their own timing. Every child is unique, and when they begin to want to walk and explore, I was thinking about the first time our children began to walk. Ellie and Naomi. I have a short little video of Ellie's first steps. I think there's a phrase that you can't teach a new dog old dog new tricks. But I don't think that phrase is necessarily accurate. I don't know if you've ever watched a child take their first steps or a calf being born. They're several minutes and they're up and they're kind of wobbling. You see their legs, they're moving all around. We begin this process of growth. And in the process of growth, I don't think that ever ends. I think we continue to learn. I think we continue to grow in our relationship with God. I think we continue to have the ability to learn and grow. So I think you can teach an old dog new tricks. I think it's possible. We've been working through a series called Grow, and this series is all about the growth that happens from the time that we're a baby Christian until God calls us home, until we're fully mature, as the Bible tells us. It can look something like this diagram I showed you several weeks ago. The process of salvation starts with hearing the Word of God, and you believe or receive that Word. And then you begin to learn. And as you learn, you siphon those things through your mind, and as you learn, you obey, and you apply those things. Sometimes you have to relearn something that you learned before so you can apply it. You begin to do things like ministry and service and evangelism, and God may send tests or trials. God's work and miracles are all throughout, and it's hard because it's not like you don't just step, well, I'm on the belief step right now, okay, I'm on the learning step right now, okay, I'm on the obedience step. It doesn't work like that. But each of these are steps, and like I said, sometimes it's a process of learning, believing, and obeying each of those pieces, each of those parts of Scripture in our lives. This morning it's going to be very, very practical. And we're going to talk about some of the many ways we can put our lives in a place that will help us grow. This morning is all about learning more about Him. It's like when you're gardening, when you're farming, you want to make sure you have good soil. If you don't have good soil, you won't have a good crop. So it's about trying to make sure the soil is good. You water it and you want to see it grow. You fertilize. You want to help it grow as best it can. As I've reminded you, we don't do the growth, though. Who does the growth? God. All of you have to beat Ellie in the answers this morning. That's your goal, okay? God does the growth, right? In the book of Hebrews, we read this verse, Hebrews chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, you want to open there this morning, you can do that. Hebrews chapter 5, I'll be reading verses 12 through 14. It's also on the screen there. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." The author there is giving us some contrasting words. We can notice several layers of growth that can happen there. We see him talk about teachers versus students. See him talking about there being solid food versus milk. We see them talking about maturity versus being childlike. We see him talking about being unskilled and discerning versus being able to be skilled in discerning good from evil. There's a process here. And let me tell you something. We're each at some part in this process. We're all in these verses somewhere. I'm not saying, well, I need to give you milk, or I'm not saying I need to give you meat, but we're somewhere in the process of growth. All of us, including myself, is in the process of growing and being more like Christ. Being able to distinguish good from evil. Honing those skills of discerning that God calls us to do. We can always learn more. We can always grow more. So how do we learn to grow? I brought my tool belt with me from home. Got to get it strapped on here. So I brought some tools with me this morning. How do we learn to grow? Well, there's tools that we can use. There's tools that God gives us in order to help us grow. What I'm going to talk about to you guys this morning are just some of the basic tools that we have. Some of the basic tools that God gives to us to put our lives in a spot where we can learn and we can grow, where He can help us grow. The first tool is God's Word. As I was thinking about God's Word, it's kind of like a tape measure. It helps us to measure things in our lives. You've heard it said, measure twice, cut once. I've made the mistake of not measuring twice before, and then you have to go buy some new lumber, right? And so God's Word can be a device in which we need to measure our lives upon. We need to measure our lives upon His Word. It is our primary way to know about God. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture, how much Scripture? All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for. The things that it's profitable for, he's going to tell us right now. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Do you see the end goal there, that we're to be mature in our faith? We're to be complete, as Paul writes to Timothy? But God's Word is profitable for teaching, for us to learn. We have to open up His Word and read it. For reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that discernment of good versus evil. I'm going to be a little blunt with you this morning. If you're not reading God's Word regularly, you need to be reading God's Word regularly. You need to be opening it, maybe on a daily basis, at least a few times a week. You need to be in God's Word. That is important. I said we were going to be practical this morning. There are resources that we have. Steve mentioned one of them already this morning, Upper Room Devotionals. I would love to see all of these disappear every time they come out. They're back there. They're on the counter. They're free of charge. They're provided for you. They're really good. They give you a scripture to look up and read. They give you a passage that maybe applies or has to do with that. And then a story you can read through, how you can pray. These are really good for your growth. They get you in God's Word on a daily basis. Maybe technology is more where you're at. You don't like the paper version. You can do other things as well. Stacy and I have the YouVersion app on our Bibles. YouVersion is easy. You can just go download it if you have a smartphone. And Stacy and I have been on a reading plan in the YouVersion app. And it's been really good because we've been keeping each other accountable. It's reading through the New Testament in a year. So it's not a lot of reading, but it does get you in God's Word on a daily basis. We're on day 329. So we're almost done. We're going through the book of Matthew. And that's the end, the book of Matthew. And so we're working through that, and it's really been good for each of us, I think, to be getting into God's Word. Another thing is Right Now Media. That's another free access you have. If you have technology in your home, you should be able to get on Right Now Media. If you want to sign up for that, there's paperwork back in the foyer area back there. Just sign up on the sheet, and we can get you attached with that. Another great resource is Christian Books. If you enjoy reading or audio books that you can listen to, Christian books are a great source for us to learn and grow. But I want to kind of give us a little caution this morning that you should be in God's Word before you're going to man's words. Because everything we read, everything we allow in, we should be using God's Word as kind of the tape measure for those things to make sure that they're right and accurate and true. Tools for learning, the Holy Spirit. We're given a tool, the Bible says, as a Christian, that is the Holy Spirit. I was thinking of the Holy Spirit as a square. That He helps keep us aligned to the truth. He keeps us true to God's Word. I can't bend this. It's going to remain square. And so the Holy Spirit is like that. He is our greatest teacher. Jesus tells His disciples in John 14:26, He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So Jesus taught His disciples, but He's telling them, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to do these things for you. He's going to continue to teach. And He's also going to bring remembrance the things that Jesus has said. I want to tell you something that's super encouraging from this verse if you have a hard time remembering. It's not only your job to remember. Who's going to help you remember? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to help you remember the things about Jesus. Now, that comes with, you have to be in God's Word, because if you don't ever have it in there, you're not going to remember it. But God helps us remember the things that He has said. Tools for learning. Prayer. Prayer is a tool that we have been given to help us in our relationship with God. I was thinking about prayer as a level. It kind of helps us know if we're being aligned with God, if we're doing things according to where He wants. And so we pray, God, if this be in Your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Because we want to make sure that the things we are praying for are aligning us with God. Paul reminds his church in Ephesians. He goes through the whole armor of God. And then he says, and pray. And pray. Prayer is a part of the armor that we're to be putting on every day. But I think the struggle is we kind of don't know how to pray. I think we can always learn more about prayer. We can learn more about prayer. I've printed some copies of a resource for you. They're back on the counter back there. It's from Daniel Henderson. He writes a lot about prayer, and he has a website called Strategic Renewal. Again, I have hard copies of these out there if you want to grab one of these. This is about his, he calls it 4-4. You think of timing like for music, 4-4. He calls it his 4-4 worship-based prayer. And this is based off of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, so it's very familiar. But it draws our focus towards God, as opposed to always being on our needs. And so he has a little diagram that he emphasizes that our prayers need to be upward. They need to be describing God's reverence. That comes from our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, who is God. And so we emphasize that first in our prayers. Secondly, there's a downward response, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Jesus prayed that. So there's an upward focus, but there's also a response to who God is, that he is sovereign and he is in control over all. Then there's inward requests. Number three, there's inward requests that we're surrendered to who God is, to his will, and we're bringing those requests before him, laying them at his feet. And then finally, there's outward readiness, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so it reminds us of the battle that we're facing on a daily basis. And so these are in the back if you want to read more about that. They're there for your, as one of your tools that you can use for prayer. There are those resources there, strategicrenewal.com, the 4-4 worship-based prayer pattern. And then, like I said, it's based on Jesus' prayer found in Matthew chapter 6. Tools for learning. We have God's Word, we have the Holy Spirit, we have prayer, we have fellowship. Fellowship. You're all here this morning. Cindy made a comment before, in between our practice. We used to practice at 9, and before we everybody started coming in, she was looking at the numbers over there, and she was like, I am just so encouraged by how many people have been coming to church. The fellowship we have as a church, we're really united as one. It's kind of like screwdrivers. Screwdrivers are a good tool. You can do lots of things with screwdrivers. But they help us adjust, right? Fellowship helps us adjust our perspective sometimes. Sometimes our perspective needs a little bit of switching. Sometimes we have those moments where we need somebody to come up and say, hey, I know you're looking at this way, but have you thought about it from this side? And that's what screwdrivers do. They kind of tweak things sometimes. Just adjust them just a little bit. Paul writes this in the book of Colossians. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in us first, and then we're to what? Admonish one another. The fellowship we're to have with one another. The teaching we're to do with one another. And that comes through wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Being thankful to God. When we come together, we're able to teach and train each other in what we've learned for the week. What God has been doing in our lives. At some point, we went to this model of teacher and student in the church. So for Sunday school, we have a teacher and students. And for church, we have a teacher and students. But for most of the church's life, that wasn't the way it was. They would read the Bible, and they would talk about what God had been doing in their lives. That was part of their worship, seeing what God had been doing. They were teaching and admonishing one another. It's not just God's Word, but it's also psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, which leads us kind of to our next point of worship. But worship is not just music. When we say we're having a worship service on Sunday morning, it's not just about music, but it's the time we spend singing. It's the time we spend fellowshipping with one another. It's the time we spend learning from each other. That is all worship. Many times in Scripture, worship is depicted as based off of an event that God had done. So in Exodus, here's one example. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 10, "And when all the people," this is the nation of Israel, "had come out of Egypt, God was coming to be with them. They had the tent of meeting. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door." It's in response to what God is doing. It's in response to an action that God is doing. Let me give you one more example from the New Testament. Matthew chapter 14, verses 32 through 33. "And when they got into the boat," what's the backstory here? Jesus was walking on water. Peter goes out to Jesus and he begins to sink. Jesus helps him, and then they both get back into the boat. I think it's Mark's retelling of this story. It says, "And Jesus was about to pass them by." I love that. Jesus was just walking on the water, and he was about to walk by their boat. He wasn't even going to stop. He was just going to keep walking. But what happened was they saw them, and Peter ends up jumping out and walks on water. He's the only other person besides Jesus that's walked on water. And so they get back into the boat, and the wind ceases, the storms end. And what's their response? "And those in the boat," the disciples, "worshipped him." Worship is a response to what God is doing or is going to do. They worship and saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Worship is our proper response to our experience of God's love, God's holiness, God's faithfulness, God's justice, and God's goodness. Worship is our response to Him. It can be our response to His Word. It can be our response to His creation. It can be our response to His character. Or it can be in response to His works. But worship is always focused on God. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Worship is always to be focused on Him. But what happens? Our worship gets off a little bit. I was thinking about what worship could be like. And if we're truly worshiping God, it's kind of like a hammer. It gets it into us. We can remember biblical truths when we're singing about them. We can remember biblical truths when we're seeing God acting in them. We can remember biblical things. We can remember the major events in our lives because God was at work in those. And they kind of hammer home those biblical truths. Have to hit the thing here. It's going to fall and make a large noise. Okay. Finally, tools for learning. This is the one we don't want on the list. Testing. Can't we just leave this one off the list? Can't we just say, no, we don't need testing. It's not very fun. I don't like tests. I get nervous. I remember one time I was taking, I think it was a sociology test. I was so nervous. I just remember the person who was sitting next to me was looked over and said, "Are you okay?" I think I turned white as a ghost because the questions on there looked nothing like anything I'd heard about in class the whole time. I get nervous during testing. And so we don't want tests. But God uses testing and trial in our lives to change our character. It's like a chisel. Tests and trials can chip away some of the things that God needs to take out of our lives. Some of the ways God needs to change us. If our girls get any type of ouchie or boo-boo, they ask for a Band-Aid. No matter what it is. It could be a cut, it could be a scrape, it could be a bruise, it could be a headache. They want a Band-Aid because they think it'll help. It's kind of the fix-all, right? Give me a Band-Aid and it'll fix my problem. Well, just as that's kind of their thought of something that's universal, testing is God's universal tool for us as well to help change us, make us more like Him. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings." Paul, you're crazy. You rejoice in your sufferings? He says, yes, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Testing produces these things in our lives. Endurance, character, hope. We would not have those things in our lives if God wasn't working in our lives to bring testing, which gives us more endurance. James puts it this way in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." James, you're crazy. But what does he say? "Count it all joy when you meet trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Now, you know, the New Testament was translated from Greek. The same word steadfastness is the same word as endurance that Paul uses. Those are the same words. We just translated them as a different word. Steadfastness, endurance. "And let endurance have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Both authors are saying the same thing here. We need to be joyful because testing produces fruit in our lives. And it leads us to being perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. We don't have control over the testing. I said I'm giving you tools this morning. We don't have control over testing and trials. We can say, "God, I'm ready for your next test," but we don't know when that's going to come. What we do have control over is our perspective of the testing and the trials. What we do have control over is our response when the trials and the tests come. We don't always see that it's a trial or a test, right? It starts coming at us and we go, "Oh, what's going on?" And we try to fix it by our own strength. And then it gets bigger and bigger and we go, "Okay, something's out of my control here." And then we realize this is a test being sent by God. Or sometimes you don't realize until you're through it and you look back and you go, "Well, that was a test sent by God. You know what, God? That was really hard. But I can see how you've changed me, how you've made me more like your Son, more perfect and complete as we've gone through that trial, as we've gone through that test." Sometimes those trials and tests last for years. Sometimes they're short. We don't know, but our response or our perspective, we can keep that in light of what God is doing, that He is testing or trying us. So we're given tools we can use to prepare our mind and spirit to be ready for the growth that only God can bring. These tools were given to help us in our lives, help prepare our hearts so that we can be ready to be more like Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? God, I pray that you would be working in our lives, helping us to use these tools of going to your word, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to each of our lives. God, using prayer and fellowship. God, prayer that we communicate to you and get our lives aligned with your will. Fellowship where we can have our perspective tweaked a little bit. God, worship that we are worshiping with our lives all throughout the week, not just on Sunday morning. And God, giving ourselves a, thinking about a perspective of your testing and your trials that are coming into our lives. God, that we may find joy in those because they lead us to becoming more complete, more perfect. God, they're not fun. It's not easy sometimes having some of these things changed in our lives. It's not easy to have some of these things taken out of our lives. But God, you use them, the Bible tells us. You use all things for good. God, help us to recognize your sovereignty. Help us to recognize your love for us. God, help us to recognize these tools that can help us to learn and grow and become more and more like Jesus. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.